Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
Greetings, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for another edition of Mocha. Mocha, M-O-C-H-A-A, stands for Man of a Certain You and Age. And that is me, Bobby Rivers. I'm here with the fabulous Keith Price.
Hello, darling.
Actor, comedian, writer. Man, how are you?
I'm good, man.
You know, can I talk about a couple of movies, classic movies? And I want to talk about Turner Classic Movies and put it in a context of diversity issues. Okay, so here's the deal. This summer, the Los Angeles Times had an article by Travell Anderson, and you can probably find it. It was in July, and it was called There is Room for Everyone, where he talked to 14 critics. There's a video. 14 critics in L.A. alone who were talking about the need for diversity in the world of film journalism.
Right.
And really entertainment reporters in general. Now, that's just L.A. Keith and I have been going to screenings for well over 10 years in New York City, where a lot of times we are the only black person in the screening room.
You, me, and Mike, if it's a good show.
You, me, and Mike Sargent, if it's a good day. Mike Sargent is a buddy of ours on WBAI radio in New York City. And here's the thing. I know I have blogged about this, saying, where are the black film critics? Where are the black entertainment reporters? And I know a lot of y'all white folks are saying, why does he keep talking about that? Because it keeps happening. Here I am, like Oprah, Madonna, Tom Hanks. I've got an AARP card. I grew up never seeing a black person review movies on a regular basis on the network morning shows or the syndicated shows. Yeah, Siskel and Ebert and all the couples that followed Siskel and Ebert, it was always a pair of white guys, again. Today, you got David Edelstein on CBS. You got Peter Travers, you know, for the Rolling Stone. It's still that the field of film critics and hosts on movie channels like AMC, when it was American Movie Classics and showed just old movies, it's been a field of white guys. So that field has been, I'm going to say it, segregated, where the people of color would love to do that work. But here's the deal. As I have talked to the other black folks who have been critics in New York, for, you know, L.A., that was just 14. You got so many pissed off black and Latino people who can review movies in New York City because they can't get equal opportunities to review movies on a network news show like the white guys get. The other thing, too, is we can't get access to the screenings like the white guys could get.
Nope. Not
and I'm just
all.
Breaking it down because, you know, when it comes out to the prestige films that may open in the fall, like a movie like, you know, like Phantom Thread, something starring Daniel Day-Lewis or Helen Mirren or Meryl Streep or a film by Scorsese or Spielberg, we hear about the screenings after they've happened. And it's always that white buddy of ours and we just want to, you know, we just want to punch him in the throat. Oh, weren't you at the screening for the Phantom Thread? No.
No.
We get the screenings for all the Kevin Hart movies. And you know it's true. You know it's true, Keith. You know this because you covering Broadway. Do you ever see any black people talking about theater on New York television? It's New York television.
Nope. They don't talk about it. At least I haven't seen them. And when they do, it's all online.
Yes.
Only when they're online.
And here's an example of the fact that how black film critics, entertainment reporters, you know when we're called in is to talk about black stuff. Like, you know, like talk about movies to see for Black History Month or movies about the Civil Rights Era or movies about a black star who just died. Then they call us up. But for the mainstream conversation, we're not invited to join in any reindeer games. And that's what's so frustrating. Here is a current example. It's up for an Emmy Award right now. HBO had a documentary called Spielberg, and it's about Spielberg. It's really good. If you can catch a repeat of it on HBO, do. It's really good. In that, you see, there are 7 film critics and 1 film historian. And out of 1 is black. And one of the main movies that they talk about is The Color Purple. And I watched this. You could not find 1 black film critic or historian talk about The Color Purple.
What's that guy, Elvis, whatever his name is? They couldn't find him.
Elvis Mitchell.
They couldn't find him?
You couldn't find... We could have talked about it.
No, because then it takes away the validity of the conversation.
And then they had home movies of Steven Spielberg, Spielberg and the fabulous wife of his, mm-hmm. and they adopted a black child.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, so the Spielberg family has more,
more diversity in it.
Black, more diversity, and the number of film critics they had to talk about his work in this documentary. Now,
crazy.
Why do I want to bring this up? Is because September is a groundbreaking and long overdue month for Turner Classic Movies, because in every Tuesday and Thursday in prime time in September, there's a special on the Black Film Experience with members of the African American Film Critics Association. So in September on TCM, you will see more black film critics in that 1 month that you've ever seen on network TV and in syndicated film review shows since the 1980s.
God, I hope there's not like an accident or anything that week.
And these are just, and okay, the press
never
release,
get a second chance.
One of the executives said, what did he say? These are some of the most prominent film critics. And these are just people from the Atlanta area. So I want you white folks, when you're watching, saying, wow, if these critics are so prominent,
how come I'm never
why
heard of them?
I just seeing them right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. 2 people who are not in it, and not because they're not talented, but they're in New York, Wesley Morris
uh-huh.
and Hilton Als, ALS.
Or our pal Alone.
Mike Sargent.
Yes.
Okay, now, do you know what is special about Wesley and Hilton?
What?
Wesley Morris, young, handsome brother, used to work for the Boston Globe. He's now with the New York Times. 2011, he won the Pulitzer Prize for film criticism.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, do you ever see him on TV? No, but you've seen Cody Gifford review movies on the Today Show. When he was 20 years old, his credentials, he had taken a film course the previous semester.
Yep.
20.
Yep.
The other person, Hilton, 2016, he won a Pulitzer Prize for criticism, including film criticism. See him on TV? Nope.
Well, maybe he's not marketing himself, Bobby.
Well, that's,
you see, that's
leads
how it goes.
Me, thank you for bringing that up, which leads me to another.
By the way, follow us at Mocha with Bobby Rivers on Twitter.
Please. Which, about the marketing, we know the plight of black filmmakers and for women trying to get a job as director, because the black filmmakers were often told or have heard for years, well, black stories don't sell, which is code for we're lazy, we don't want to help you market your movie.
Exactly.
Then black filmmakers can get a good movie like Fruitvale Station made, but then the Hollywood companies aren't going to give them a promotion budget, a marketing budget, like they would give to a Ryan Reynolds or a Seth Rogen for their movies. So if your movie doesn't make a lot of money, they say, oh, see, I told you black stories don't sell, when they haven't given you a lot of help. They haven't helped you get bookings on like a Today Show or Good Morning America to talk about your product.
Right.
We people of color, we know what you're going through, so we want to interview you on TV. But then we have to try to get on TV ourselves because we got these white executives who are like, well, why should I put you on?
When I have Cody Gifford.
Yeah, you're not Cody Gifford. We're not. So with people like we mentioned Mike Sargent, Keith, Keith covering, Keith can talk about film and can talk, and man, he could really talk about theater. First of all, we don't have the opportunity. I'm just going to mention her name, not to be bitchy, but just as an example. Laura Spencer in Good Morning America. She has an agent. She has an assistant. She has a dressing room. Mm-hmm. She gets access to screenings. We people of color, we don't get the equal opportunities for that network TV spot to talk about entertainment. We don't have an assistant. We're trying to find out where the screenings are. And we have to be our own agents, because the filmmakers will hear, well, black stories don't sell. What we hear is from agents, well, gosh, you're talented, but I just wouldn't know what to do with you, which is code for they don't think that black people will get as much work as white people. So they'll stay with the white people so they would get more of a 10%.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now that I have finally gotten a website together for the comedy and the whole schmear and putting everything together, yeah. It's really funny to me because now it feels as if it should be even easier now for me to be able to book myself for places, because now they have access to everything. They know what they can see me when I'm doing interviews with people. They can hear me doing interviews with people. They can see me acting. They can see me doing comedy. They can. I mean, it's like, you know,
but the thing is, we have to keep validating ourselves all the time. Think about it, like the critics, you know, Travell did that article in the LA Times in July, and just recently, because you tweeted me about this, Rotten Tomatoes is trying to make its collection of critics more racially diverse, because they have like 4,000 critics, and it's 82% white male.
So they're going to open up the door.
Okay, you know what, folks? I would give you an example of the stuff that we don't get, but white guys do. Keith, you remember when we went to that screening? You had a friend visiting you from Italy.
Yes.
And we went to the screening, and we met that cool young woman who worked for Access Hollywood. And
yes.
She told us what she did for Billy Bush.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? I don't care. I'm going to tell him the whole story. I'm going to tell him the whole story because Billy Bush got hired on TV. He had no TV experience. I think he had majored in water polo in college. He had never done film reviews or cover entertainment, and he wound up making millions in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Millions. Okay.
And so then threw it all away.
Yeah. Poor thing. So we said, well, what do you do for Billy Bush? And she said, well, basically, I tell him what the new slang is from urban kids so he'll seem hip. And we went, what? And I knew what she told us was the truth because I saw the segment. So she said, well, I hold his place on red carpet. I hold his place. So boom, that's something black folks don't get, because there was another article that said black entertainment reporters are usually in the Rosa Parks section because they can't get a place on the red carpet. So
that I can totally attest to.
You and I both. So Billy Bush had a place on the red carpet. And she said, well, like, we had a recent premiere, and the publicist alerted us that Queen Latifah was going to be there, and she'd be wearing a gown by, you know, this designer, and a lot of jewelry from Tiffany's. So I told Billy, when you see Latifah, say, hey, nice bling. And he said, what's bling? She said, so I had to explain this stuff to him. And I saw it. It aired, and that's exactly what he did. So you hold in his place on the red carpet, and you tell him what to say, and he's going to the bank.
And he's going to the
Meanwhile, Keith and I are gay men trying to make fondue out of government cheese because we that broke.
Funny. That's just interesting, though. I mean, it's like she's got to be – they have to give someone a job to help keep them hip. Like, then it's like, and how then do you get that job? And then
how do you get that job?
Then you want to say to the people that are hiring the person that doesn't have the hip jive lingo to begin with, why do you hire them?
And that's what I don't think a lot of white viewers realize. It's the hiring. It's the people. Ben Mankiewicz is a great host on Turner Classic Movies. I like Ben. Mm-hmm. The Mankiewicz family of filmmakers, they embraced diversity. I mean, they were taking on social issues. However, when you look at the four hosts on Turner Classic Movies, they look like they just fell out of The Sound of Music. They are as white as the Von Trapp family singers. And it's 2018. And I always want to say to Ben Mankiewicz, he loves sports. So does the other host, Eddie Muller, the film noir guy. Mm-hmm. So when they go to see a ball game, when they go to see a baseball game or a basketball game, if they were going to games and they did not see any black players on the court or on the field, wouldn't they notice that? And wouldn't they say something about it? So when they go to work and they're having meetings with members of the executive branch who do the hiring and programming, do they notice if it's racially diverse, or they just see representations of themselves, other white faces? And if it's not, if they notice that the playing field is not level, do they mention it?
Of course they don't. Come on, Bobby. No, you know what it is? I think it's not, I don't want to like give away, like let them off the hook. But I think part of it is because they've never had to think about it as it being an issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they didn't grow up like, let's say, I grew up when I was taking classes in elementary school of being sometimes the one of the only black person in the classroom. The only black kid in the class.
Yes.
And as time went on, the only time that there were more more black kids in the same class is because the classes themselves got smaller. So, like, you know, you only had one teacher that taught physics and one teacher that taught trig and one teacher that taught calculus. So by the time you got to those places, it was me, Christopher Gurrier, and Harlan Hill. We were the only three black men that were like passed around all the different honors classes, and we were always separated until we got closer to the top. And that's what happens. It's like, you know, they don't have that as something to think about because that's not their normal everyday thing.
Right.
It's not a part of their makeup.
And I think that the situation on Turner Classic Movies is kind of reflective of hiring in those fields all across the American broadcast and entertainment reporting landscape. Like, the last time that I saw a black host solo on TCM was December 2016, and it was director Julie Dash, Daughters of the Dust.
Yes, yeah.
She was terrific. Terrific. But I haven't seen one since. When Robert Osborne was on Turner Classic Movies, he always brought black people on into the classic film discussion. Ironically, the less we saw of Osborne because of health issues, the less we saw of black people. And since he passed away, it's like, are we there at all? But you had the four hosts. We'll talk about how important it is to embrace racial equality. We'll talk about African-American filmmakers and Latino stereotypes that must be overcome. But in that sense, Turner Classic Movies is like a Hollywood film of the 1930s. You have characters talking about the importance of racial equality, but the movie stars an all-white cast.
I myself, though, I find it very fascinating, though, because, like I said, it's from that hiring spot in the top. It's not that there aren't qualified people of color who can sit and discuss film, obviously, can sit and discuss film in front of camera, obviously. It is just the fact that whoever is ultimately making the decisions are not letting the room breathe and allow that into the space. Because what happens is that immediately, Bobby, and you know this to be true, especially as a man of color with an extensive history and knowledge base that you carry with you, just, you know, almost in a savant kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just there. That when you walk into a conversation with other white men about something like, let's say, a Humphrey Bogart discussion.
Yes.
And you wind up having way more information to bring in, way more humor about the information, and at the same time still be right on point to whatever conversation that they're having, they get threatened. They get threatened instantly, because then it becomes, how does this black guy know so much about Humphrey Bogart? That's what happens. And so, you know, and the bottom line is, until they allow you to just let you talk about Humphrey Bogart, no one's going to know.
because the viewpoints of color can add to the conversation.
And I mean, and what that does is, and I'll say this again too. It's like, I remember when I was living in Texas in the 80s and I was watching VH1 because I had aged into what was becoming that demographic. And I would see you on TV and I would say, first of all, who is this queen? I don't know. So how is he getting by? Nobody just calling him out, but all right, let him do his thing. He's just there. And I remember seeing that and seeing you talk to all of those famous people and thinking to myself, well, wow, look at this black guy talking to all these fabulous people, and not knowing that that's not something that was not normal. And so it etched in the brain that that's a possibility. It's like,
and you saw me as a talk show host with great guests.
With great guests. You know,
guests that like also did the Dick Cavett show and the Merv Griffin show and the Tonight Show. And here's the thing. When I was doing that show, and I appreciated every second of it because I knew, I said, I'm black. I may never get this opportunity again. And VH1 was thrilled. One day they opened up the New York Times on a Sunday. And who was on the front page of the Arts and Leisure section? Me. Mm-hmm. And it was not a story that they had pitched, but Stephen Holden thought that I was a master interviewer with a gift for gab. Mm-hmm. And they put me on the front page and did an article on my talk show.
Without any help from their PR department.
Right. The PR, that's what they were really thrilled about. I have never been offered another national talk show opportunity.
No.
But doing that show, and later on when I the rare times I got to review movies, I always thought, well, me being here, Lord knows, you know, I'm about as butch as an after dinner mint. But by virtue of the fact that I am a black man doing this, maybe it will open a door so another person of color can come through and do it even better.
Exactly. But at the same time, like I said, you have those kinds of conversations with people and you can hold your own in the conversations. You can bring in things. You throw in an Ida Lupino, the room floors. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? They're like,
yeah,
because I did that once. Thanks to you teaching me about who Ida Lupino was. I was having a conversation with Kim Fields, the actress, who was working on doing a direction. She started moving in the direction of direction. She wants to become a director. Uh-huh. And we were talking about female directors and how there weren't very many. And I said, you know what? I just got turned on to Ida Lupino. And she was like, oh, my God. I said, yeah, The Hitchhiker or something, when she does the thing. And she was like, oh, my God. So she and I, these two black people, are having this conversation about Ida Lupino.
Oh, my gosh. I love this.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's why it's unfair, because that's normal conversation for anyone. I work with this woman now. I help record a podcast with her. And she is a black girl nerd.
Uh-huh.
Let's give her a plug, Miss Angelique Roche. Hey, girl. She does like a Geeksplain thing where she talks about Marvel Comics and the movies and the different kinds of animations and stuff like that. And she's the one who turned me on to the Black Lightning show.
And what you mentioned, I haven't seen it yet, but I will.
But she turned me onto that just from talking about it. You see what I'm saying? And you know, yes. And she's like everybody, girl. You know what I mean? Hey, girl, what you doing? And she's like, hey, how you doing? You know, I saw this thing, and we were just sitting down having this conversation about this stuff, and you know, comparing it to Luke Cage, and how there's a difference between the styles of the way that the show's
being
told. And that's
it. We should be blended into the arts conversation.
Period. But
period.
But like I said, though, she's someone who I would never have thought to have had this conversation with about a show that I never even thought about watching myself until she talked to me about it. And so that alone brings in the difference. That brings in the extra. That brings in the stuff. And they just refuse to let that happen because it means that they have to remember. They'll have to own the fact that they don't know everything either.
And now for this Turner Classic Movies September spotlight on the black experience in film, two of the movies being shown, A Soldier's Story and A Raisin in the Sun. Norma Jewison,
that's right,
in The Heat of the Night, 1967, won the Oscar for Best Picture. So after that, he does Thomas Crown Affair, Fiddler on the Roof, Jesus Christ Superstar. Then he wants to make a soldier story, and suddenly Hollywood had no money for him. And Jewison, I've interviewed him. He is such a cool dude. He is very much a civil rights activist. And he said, what do you mean? And they said, black stories don't sell. And then he realized that the subtext was, we don't want to make movies with a predominantly black cast that doesn't have a white hero.
Right.
And A Soldier Story is a predominantly black cast. The hero is not white.
Nope.
He practically offers to work for scale, and he's determined to get this movie done. Well, he got the movie made. It's Howard Rollins, young Denzel Washington, David Alan Greer, Robert Townsend, Adolf Caesar. He gets the movie done. It gets an Oscar nomination for Best Picture of 1984. It also gets an Oscar nomination for Best Screenplay. Charles Fuller wrote the screenplay. Charles Fuller won the Pulitzer Prize for writing the play that the movie's based on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A Raisin in the Sun. Now, here's the thing where I wondered if there were any black people working at Turner Classic Movies to make a suggestion. In June of, not this year, but last year, they devoted June to gay Hollywood. You know, gay actors who were gay or people who were gay and in the production team, mm-hmm. or movies based on plays written by a gay playwright. Right. And I watched the entire month to see if there was black representation, and there was none. And they could have shown A Raisin in the Sun because Lorraine Hansberry was young, gifted, black, and a lesbian, an out lesbian.
Wow.
And we see this. There is I think this may also be up for an Emmy, and it's a documentary on Hansberry called Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart. It's a PBS documentary, and it is terrific. And it goes into her, she had been married, and then she came out, and it goes into her being a lesbian. And this is, she made history as the first black woman to get a play produced on Broadway.
Yep.
Lorraine Hansberry also did the screenplay. And I think the movie was made for Columbia Pictures. How many black women were doing Hollywood screenplays in the early years of the Civil Rights Movement?
Exactly.
So that was another barrier that she broke through. So I would have said, you know, Turner Classic Movies, you may want to tell your host, Dave Karger, to put A Raisin in the Sun on there. Now, I have a personal connection and a way to In the Heat of the Night and the Lorraine Hansberry documentary, because you know, I told you about my buddy Chiz Schultz. He watched me on VH1. We've had dinner. I interviewed him on TV. Chiz became friends with Harry Belafonte. Chiz worked at The Tonight Show, and he helped Harry Belafonte book Dr. Martin Luther King
right
as a guest in 1968. All right? Chiz became one of the associate producers on the movie A Soldier Story with Jewison. Chiz produced a documentary on Lorraine Hansberry, Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart.
Wow.
There.
Wow. Well, there's the 6 degrees.
6 degrees right there. So you watch Turner Classic Movies in September and you see the black film experience. Boom.
See how many white people are going to talk about black film.
Well, son, that is all I got for today. I am ready for a cosmopolitan.
For real. Oh, my God. Well, it's time, though. We should figure out a new thing, because now that we have access, people can go to our blogs and they can go to our Twitter pages, at Mocha with Bobby Rivers, find out what's going on and get the list.
At Bobby Rivers TV, thank you so much.
So they can talk to Bobby. You can catch me at Comedy Daddy or at KP Curtain Call, because I got the blog, which I just put out another episode again last week.
Bumps, we got to get Keith a show on Netflix.
You know,
how come he can't do like W. Kamau Bell?
I would love to do. Well, you know, I got to have the story. I got to find the right story. And I have the right story now. And we'll see what happens. We'll just see what happens.
We'll just see what happens.
Anything to keep us out of the pool of the banal.
Ain't that into the pool of the banal.
Oh, and then we got to say it too again. Rest in heaven and rest in just sheer paradise.
Rest in power. And Queen Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin and John McCain. Senator John McCain.
Senator John McCain, thank you for your goodness.
Wow.
And thank you folks for listening to Mocha.